Soldiers living on Army bases may soon have to start paying rent. Yep, you heard me, rent. Now, no final decision has been made, as the Army likes to say. But as Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu reports, the Army is concerned about a cash crunch among the companies who operate its on-base housing.
The potential new fees for service members have to do with the somewhat complicated way the military now funds family housing on and around military bases. Under the Residential Communities Initiative, which Congress first authorized 20 years ago, 98% of the Army's family homes are privately built and privately operated. For each home an Army family lives in, those vendors are paid rent in the exact amount a service member's entitled to as his or her basic allowance for housing. But in the last two annual defense authorization bills, Congress has gone along with DoD proposals to cut personnel costs by reducing BAH payments so that they only cover 95% of the cost of rent in a given housing market. The cutbacks are being phased in over 5 years, but by 2019, service members living off base will be paying 5% of their housing costs out of pocket, and military housing developers will have seen what they thought was a predictable revenue stream cut by 5%. The allowance rates have only been cut by 2 percentage points so far, but Catherine Hammack, the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Installations, Energy, and Environment, told a conference hosted by the Association of the U.S. Army that some housing owners are already feeling the effects, and that it's concerned that some of them may be headed toward bankruptcy. New rent charges for military members living on base are by no means a sure thing. First, the Army's asking its housing providers to look at scaling back the services they provide. Lawns won't be cut as often, swimming pools and community centers will be closed, but if those measures aren't enough to offset the developer's costs and revenues on a given base, the Army will entertain petitions to let them begin assessing rent directly from service members. Lieutenant General David Halverson is the commander of the Army's Installation Management Command.
We're really looking hard to make sure the soldier and the family is not being impacted by the aspect, but then how do we maintain the fiscal viability of the partner? Another thing that we did is we finally had our first housing survey with our RCI partners and got some good feedback that we've been able to share with our partners, with the chain of commands, and everyone, which really does facilitate. We're going to continue to mature that with our surveys and what we do with our partnership with RCI, and I'll continue to refine how they look at services and the expectation management that we must do. But it's a tough issue. So,
military housing privatization is widely regarded as among the best existing examples of public-private partnerships anywhere in the federal government, and each military service has some variant of the Army's RCI program. The project grew from the fact that the government-operated family quarters were growing increasingly squalid in the 1990s, and DoD could not afford to replace or renovate them at a time when defense budgets were shrinking and base facilities were a low priority. That budget situation is repeating itself today, only it's worse. The Army's 2017 request for military construction was the smallest since 1993, and Hammack says the Army has already spent the personnel savings it garnered from the BAH cuts in order to fund more military training and readiness, so it can't simply reimburse housing developers for their losses. The barracks, office, and commercial buildings the Army continues to own and operate itself are quickly falling into disrepair for some of the same reasons its housing was in failing condition in the 1990s. Hammack says budgets are tight, so facility upkeep is a much lower priority than, for example, training a brigade that's headed to a crisis zone.
So what drops to the bottom of the pile in funding is installations. And so the question has arisen in our conversations on budgets, what is the risk? The risk of undermanning, undertraining, and under-equipping is loss of life or limb. What's the risk in underfunding installations? Degradation of facilities. That is a risk. We know it is a risk. We know it is a calculated risk that we have taken in the installations. And that has caused a lot of challenges. This isn't the way we think we should manage our real estate. We've got a lot of great real estate professionals who know how to manage real estate and know what our needs are. But as I said, we're taking risk and we're prioritizing.
The Army was only able to fund 31 military construction projects around the world in its 2017 budget proposal. Often, those funds are boosted by members of congressional appropriations committees who jealously guard funding for bases in their home districts. The House Appropriations Committee's markup, passed earlier this month, for example, would boost those funds by 17%, but only by taking funds from other federal agencies. And for the new facilities the Army does build, it's not programmed much funding for renovation and eventual replacement. The new facilities the Army Corps of Engineers is building right now are meant to have a 50-year lifespan.
So if it's a 50-year life and you know how much infrastructure you have, it's a math problem. And if you do the math back of the envelope, I came up with a funding level of every 200 years. So if we're designing it for 50 and we're funding it at a 200-year replacement, there's a gap there, little bit of a gap. So the next question is, how often do you renovate a building or modernize a building? Private sector, it's about every 10 years, maybe every 15 years. We're funding it at about every 100 years. So when I was down at Fort Jackson, it was a 50 years since the building had been renovated. And they were very proud of the Training Barracks Upgrade Program, where they're renovating the building for the first time in 50 years. The building was in pretty sad shape before, and they showed me the next one on the list, still in pretty bad shape. It doesn't reflect well on the Army when this is the first barracks that a soldier sees when they enter the Army. But it meets its minimum purpose. It is in dire need of renovation and modernization, but we're funding what we can afford right now.
Hammack says the Army's inability to maintain the facilities it already owns is one more reason it needs another round of base realignment and closure, something that APARPET has requested for several consecutive years, but that Congress has repeatedly denied.
BRAC is about readiness. We spend about $500 million every year on excess or underutilized facilities. That's $500 million that we could spend in other areas. Our current estimate is that at a total force of 980,000, we're going to have 21% excess infrastructure. We must have authority from Congress to consolidate into our highest value military bases and divest of low military value or underutilized facilities. So today, facilities that are needed to support readiness, to support training exercises, airfields, and other priorities are deteriorating because the resources are spent to support installations that could be closed. The Army can't continue to carry this cost of excess infrastructure.
In Washington, Jared Zerbu, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.